Welcome to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast, where sports is life. Here are your hosts, Tiger Mike Ingram and J.R. Duren.
Welcome to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. I'm your host, Tiger Mike Ingram, and with me is my good friend and co-host, J.R. Duren. J.R., what's going on in Jacksonville, Florida?
Tiger Mike, I tell you what, man, it's been a long week, and I'm just warning you, the grumpy J.R. may come out. Grumpy J.R. from Jax.
Ooh, that's even better. Get more grumpy Jax.
But you know, it's things around here have been relatively exciting because of the signing of Dante Moncrief to the Jacksonville Jaguars, along with Austin Seferian Jenkins. And judging by those two signings, I'm pretty sure the management thought, what are the two most uninspiring things that we can do in free agency?
Yep. Okay. Pay them a lot of money.
Yes, let's throw a bunch of money at a guy who is big but unproven, and let's throw the rest of the bunch of money at a tight end who's pretty much awful, who maybe had three or four good games in his life and just so happened to have more than 50 catches last year, so welcome to the team. Like, it's just...
Yeah, they're reaching.
I don't know, man.
But Norwell was a good signing, though. He's a good...
Yeah, but you know what the interesting thing is? Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, craziness around the Norwell signing. But, I mean, really, you could argue he's the best free agent on the market, right?
Yeah, well, he's worth the money. He's the best guard, and you need interior defenders on your offensive line when you go up against, like, guys like Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt. Yeah, especially in the AFC South, you got J.J. Watt. Now he'll probably end up coming back from injury, so.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, okay, so now you're going to have the Houston Texans defense at full strength with the addition of the Honey Badger. And so now Blake Bortles, who wasn't sacked that many times last year, is now going to be facing the full wrath of Houston's defense and Deshaun Watson. So it's going to be nasty. And it's good they have Norwell, man, because you're assuming that he's basically going to neutralize a good deal of the Texans rush for what he can do from his position, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also Leonard Fournette's probably happy too, because they ran the most last year. Now they can run it even more with a mauler on the inside. So he might even get more yards.
Yeah. As long as he can stay healthy.
Yep. As long as he can stay healthy. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Yep. So so you done selling all your tobacco stuff? Is it all you done, or you still got some stash left?
I don't know if you ever saw this episode of How I Met Your Mother, where Barney holds up a sign during the Super Bowl that has his phone number on it, right? And is asking women to call him. So he has this burner phone. And it has this old, like, MIDI ringtone. It's like, da 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 da, right? And so he gets addicted to this phone. And, like, you know, it's like the telltale heart. He throws it in a dumpster and he can still hear it ringing in the middle of the night. That's how the tobacco is, man. I'm like, I got to find some. I've called people like from Hawaii to Idaho to New Mexico, to Indiana to Maine to Montana. Idaho?
Yeah, you said, my previous stomping grounds where I live, well, that in Eastern Washington. Did you try Eastern Washington, Spokane?
I did. I called, I checked Spokane tobacco stores. So, you know, this would have been a lot easier 10 years ago when tobacco store wasn't equated with like vape and hookah and weed. But yeah, so I'm kind of addicted to it. That's like, I have that curious nature. So, but it's done for now. I have one order coming in from an undisclosed location.
Oh, very smart.
In
very
the
smart.
Southwest. and then I'm pretty sure I'm done with that. I'm done.
Okay. So still taking advantage of the supply and demand, as we learned in economics.
Yeah. So That's going good, man. So how are the kids treating you, Tiger Mike?
Well, I've been on spring break, so I go back to work mañana. So it's been nice. It's been nice and relaxing. So it's been, the weather's starting to get a little bit warmer here, so it's good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I got an interesting story for you. So as you know, I've been on ESPN. Well, I haven't been on the show, but it's on their Facebook group, My Take on ESPN First Take. So I was a finalist and the alternate to debate Max and Stephen A. So I get this Facebook message from a guy who's starting this app called Sports Me. So essentially, it's like having Instagram or Facebook. You record a 30-second video, you record an argument or a debate, like a sports topic, and people will debate you, and you can get, and other people can watch, and you can get points. And yeah, so I've been doing that like the last week. It's been a lot of fun. It's hard to get all your points in 30 seconds, all your facts, but it's a lot of fun. You can talk about any sports debate you want. You just put a hashtag and put the topic. So, and actually I scored, I think, the second most points so far that with a person starting their first week. So it's been good. So it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Tiger Mike, man.
Sports Me. We need to get you on that, because right now they're only on iPhones, but soon they're coming out for droids. So if you guys want to debate me, or if JR has time and wants to do it, you can debate us, and maybe the best debates, we can interview you or debate you guys on the podcast. But the app is called Sports Me. They're not paying us. So it's just an app that I was contacted for. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. You can debate me, and if JR has time, you can debate JR on Jag stuff and even Charger stuff, Charger history.
I always have time to debate / destroy people.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, so then we can even debate each other, and then we'll see who gets the most votes.
I feel like we had one of our best debates when we were talking about the athletes,
yes,
right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that was an extra 30 minutes longer. So I'm actually going to, I've been behind on posting that, so I'm going to post that episode tonight. So that, I think, was that the one? No, I already posted that one. So
yeah, you did.
Yeah. So I got to post last week's episode. I'll get that up tonight. Then this one hopefully will be up by Wednesday or Thursday. So now I got a regular schedule where I can edit. I've figured out how to edit them faster and get them up, you know, pump them out quicker. So.
Okay. Tiger Mike rocking it, man.
Yeah, so we're up and running again. So, yep. So here are the trending sports stories of the week. We're going to We're going to talk about NFL free agency. Kirk Cousins signs with the Minnesota Vikings. Skol! And we're going to talk about Allen Robinson signing with the Bears. We're going to be talking about Kansas City Chiefs signing Sammy Watkins. And so we're going to pair them up against each other. Who paid for more? Who got ripped off? And we're going to talk about March Madness. There were a lot of upsets this last weekend. Big time upsets. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitation, the tournament. And Tiger played well. And an Irishman won the tournament who hasn't won for a while. So we will talk about golf. So those are the trending sports stories of the week. All right. So up first, is Kirk Cousins signing with the Minnesota Vikings. So he gets a 3-year fully guaranteed contract of $84 million. So what do you think about Captain Kirk signing with the Skulls?
I think that Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen were basically thrilled, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Kirk Cousins was like, finally, I get a couple of top tier receivers, man. Because, yeah, you know, he was running around with like Crowder, just like a very mediocre,
yeah,
Pryor, band of wide receivers. Crowder. Yeah. Crowder. And Crowder actually had some good games on the stretch. I think we talked about this before.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. He was decent. Yeah.
It was slim pickings. It's like when you walk through the salad bar, mm-hmm, and it's very, just very sparse. But you see the bacon bits and you're like, oh my God, these bacon bits are so good. Mm-hmm. I love the salad bar, but really it's because the bar was so low, so to speak. So,
yeah.
I think it's going to be great. I mean, to me as a fantasy football player, I thought like, okay, well, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, those guys are going to be amazing this year because Kirk Cousins is, we all have this assumption that he's a great passer and that he did really good in Washington with what he had. And now that he goes to a team with a great coach and a good defense and a couple wide receivers and a tight end, that he's going to line it up. So we'll see.
Yeah.
My assumption is that he's going to have a great season in Sora Thielen and Stephon Diggs, but who knows? I mean, is he going to be able to pick up the offense as quickly as Case Keenum? Who knows?
Do you think it's still going to be Aaron Rodgers? Is it going to still be the Packers dominating the NFC North, or do you think the Vikings actually now can be the actual the dominators, I guess you can say?
I don't think they're going to dominate, but I think they're going to be neck and neck with the Packers, mm-hmm. because they have yet to win a Super Bowl. They have yet to make it to the Super Bowl. I think their loss against the Eagles is really going to stick with them, and that's going to be a good motivator, an extra motivator,
yep.
for already highly motivated individuals to get back to the Super Bowl. And I would assume they're going to win their home game against the Packers, and they have a good chance of winning the road game too.
Yeah, but you can't count out Aaron Rodgers, though, and Mike McCartney runs a great, you know, offensive scheme. But yeah, the Packers obviously lost Jordy Nelson, so yeah, that's. But they got, I know we're switching teams in the same division, but then they got Mr. Graham from the Seahawks.
Yeah, so, that, I mean, I think their offense is still going to be great. I mean, Davante Adams, I think, is going to easily fill in mm-hmm. over Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that Randall Cobb's going to have a better season. And then you have Geronimo Allison in there. Mm-hmm. Ty Montgomery. I mean, who knows what they're going to do with him? So it should be good. It should be some good matchups between them. Mm-hmm.
But back to Kirk Cousins, the only thing I'd be concerned about back before DeSean Jackson left, and what's his face? He's on the 49ers. This happens when your brain is all over the place.
Garoppolo.
No. The wide receiver. Why is my mind going blank? Probably because I'm hot. To our listeners, you cannot see me. So I have this ring light. So it's like super hot. So like I'm like sweating like a pig, and it's like making me like, it's hot. But what's his face? Why is my mind? I'm getting old.
I'm drawing a blank here too.
Yeah, he's number 15. He played.
Crabtree?
No. He played for the Redskins. He was with DeSean Jackson.
Terrell Pryor?
No. This is killing me.
Why can't we remember this?
I don't know. Maybe because we're exhausted. But
number 15.
He's
Ryan Grant?
No. He used to be 85 before Vernon Davis. He hurt his neck. He's from.
Okay, so he's okay. We're gonna figure this out.
I'm just gonna probably have to edit this out. This is sad.
We'll figure it out. He's a
Garcon,
wide receiver.
Garcon.
Yes, Pierre Garcon.
Pierre Garcon, yeah. So when Kirk Cousins had Pierre Garcon and DeSean Jackson, you know, he played well, but they won the division, but they didn't do well in the playoffs. So my concern for the Vikings is Kirk Cousins going to be able to get them over the hump to beat the Vikings, beat the 49ers, beat the Rams, because you can make the argument that he's essentially the poor man's Tony Romo. He cannot win the big game. He always folds when the lights are on him, you know, during the big games.
That's true. That reminds me of like this one online poker game where this one guy's always like, I fold. And that's true. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. I'm of the opinion that there are no franchise quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. There are franchise coaches. Aside from Tom Brady.
Yep. Okay. I'd say Aaron Rodgers is a franchise quarterback. I'd maybe give him.
Yeah, but he's only won one Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, well, but he's been hurt, though, too.
Okay, that's true. Now, the point is that I think that Cousins is going to a well-coached team. I think people would say Zimmer is easily a top five coach.
Yeah, but he's a defensive coach, but the Vikings signed what's his face, the quarterbacks coach from the Eagles. Yeah, I should know this too, but this is what happens.
Pierre Garcon. I'll save you the time. It's Pierre Garcon.
Yeah, Pierre Garcon. Yeah, the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. So actually now the sports me people, because I posted a video, say, hey, check out our podcast. Then Tiger Mike doesn't even know who Pierre Garçon is, and the offensive coordinator
it's
for the Vikings.
John DeFilippo.
Yep, John DeFilippo. Yep. So the Vikings got him as offense coordinator. He actually helped Carson Wentz a lot this last year as his quarterback's coach, and he's actually the former offense coordinator for the Browns when Kyle Shanahan left. So he knows how to, you know, create an offense to help his players out to suit their strengths. So yeah, if he runs it similar to what Kirk has ran in the past with, you know, Shanahan and Gruden, Jay Gruden, and McVay. So yeah, if he can suit to his strengths, run that type of West Coast offense, yeah, Kirk Cousins could do well. But if not, if they try to force an offensive system that he doesn't excel at, yeah, the Vikings aren't going to do well.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of this remains to be seen. You just kind of have to go with your gut instincts, and it's always like, yep. Oh yeah, he's going to do good, and I think he will. I think he'll be better because he has
better weapons and better offensive line around him. Yeah,
yeah.
So we'll see if he'll be worth that, you know, $84 million fully guaranteed. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
for a quarterback, because yeah, he's not a franchise quarterback. Yeah, you might want to pay Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady that, but not, you know, Kirk Cousins. But that's what the going rate is for a quarterback. At least the Niners didn't pay that to Jimmy Garoppolo. It wasn't fully guaranteed. So
yeah, I think they can win now.
Oh, yeah.
And I that's something that people have been throwing around a lot. Win now. It's win now, win now. I've even heard somebody say it about the Chargers.
Yeah, win now mode. Yep.
And you either say that because you have a good quarterback who's getting old, or you just came off a good season, mm-hmm. right? Because they say that for the Jags. Win now, win now. Well, it's because we came off a good season. Same for the Vikings, you know?
Yep. Yeah, he's getting $28 million guaranteed every year. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to a duo of wide receivers. So Allen Robinson signs with the Bears. He gets 3 years, $42 million, $25 million guaranteed. Robinson in 2015 and 2016 had 2,200 yards receiving and 20 touchdowns. And the Bears also signed Taylor Gabriel from the Falcons and the Philly special passer. Remember the tight end who passed the touchdown to Nick Foles? Trey Burton.
Trey Burton.
Yes, Trey Burton. He signed with the Da Bears. So Chicago Bears might be the Philadelphia Eagles of the Midwest. What do you think about that?
It just depends, because their quarterback is a second-year quarterback, mm-hmm. just like Wentz was. He's mobile. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's as talented as Wentz was, but he's got weapons. And, you know, he didn't show anything last year that made us think that, hey, Trubisky is going to be awesome, because he was usually passing for less than 200 yards a game. But all the weapons are there, and it looks like the Bears are making the moves to at least strengthen the offense to the point where it can compete, or at least compete and give Trubisky some good options. And I mean, who knows? You have Meredith coming back, mm-hmm. then you have Robinson, and who knows what's going to happen with Kevin White.
Yeah, that guy breaks.
The guy's always injured, you know?
He barely touch him. He's like glass. He breaks.
So, I think we could see something exciting. I mean, that's what's cool, man. Okay, think about this. Think about the division.
Yeah.
Okay.
NFC North.
Yeah, NFC North. You've got Trey Burton. You have Allen Robinson. You've got Kirk Cousins. And then you see the Packers just kind of paring down a little bit, getting rid of Jordy Nelson. So who knows what that means? I don't know. Maybe they'll go for a new receiver in the draft. I don't know. That is going to be one interesting division, man. What would be great is if the Browns were in that division too, because then you would just have like all kinds of newness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot of competition and a lot of, you have a lot of satire in it too.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Browns are going to be good. Then they got Taylor Gabriel from the Falcons, put him in the slot. Yeah, and they still have Vic Fangio as their defense coordinator. He always, you know, has good defenses. So yeah, it's they're like the Philadelphia Eagles or the Kansas City Chiefs of the of the NFC, because essentially the coach Matt Nagy came from the Kansas City Chiefs. They run the same system, and they hired former Oregon Ducks coach Mark starts with an H. I can't pronounce it. Heinrich Guten Tag. He's their offensive coordinator. So they're going to throw a bunch of spread in there. That's what Trubisky ran in college. So then they're going to, you know, intertwine, marry the West Coast offense. So they might have, and they probably will get what's his face in the draft if he's still there, Quentin Nelson, because they stole the Notre Dame offensive line coach from Notre Dame. So I'm pretty sure they'll draft Quentin Nelson to protect him. So.
Yeah, so, okay, Tiger Mike, here you go. I want to ask you a question.
All right.
Let's talk about over-unders, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put it 6 wins for the Browns, 6 wins for the Bears. Over-under.
Browns, I'll go under.
Wow, all right.
Yes, Bears, since you made a great point, we have a second-year quarterback. He's not as talented as Carson Wentz. And remember, you got a rookie head coach. I would say maybe 6 games, right at 6 games, not over or under, right at. So what how would you say that?
I don't know. I'm not one to hit the tables, as it were. Yeah, so I don't know what you would I believe that would be like a double zero.
Like toeing the line? Is that it?
I don't know.
Yeah, who
knows? That sounds good though.
Yeah, so I'll say I'll toe the line at 6. How about that?
Okay. Well, I would say this. I would say Bears under 6 wins.
Okay.
Browns over 6 wins.
Oh, so we're opposite. Well, I'm toeing the line, but yeah, I'm under for the Browns. Okay. So you have a lot of confidence in the Browns.
Yes, because you know how much I love Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Mr. Taylor.
And Jarvis Landry.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the thing. It's like Bears lose more than 10 games, business as usual. Mm-hmm. Browns win more than 6 games, Super Bowl. So
there's low expectations in the land. There's low expectations in the land. But so let me ask you this. Is your bromance or your infatuation with Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry, do you think it could be skewing, blinding your objectiveness when it comes to the Browns?
I don't think so, because their defense isn't great, but they still have Myles Garrett. And their offense is just so much better, man. If their offense is just better, they have a lot of picks in the early rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who knows if they're going to pick Saquon Barkley or not? It seemed like a lock. Now there's some question as to whether or not that's going to happen.
You always go for the quarterback. We talked about this last time. You always go for the quarterback.
So then now some people are saying they might go Chubb with the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you have two young, beastly defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
I just think one of these days, like a 16 has to be to 1 seed.
And which we'll get to later.
This is going to be the year the Browns have a winning record.
Okay. All
right. Or at least 8-8.
Yeah, because you thought 500. I thought under 500 last episode. Okay, so you're going to go over. You're still going to keep to your mark of 8-8. All right.
Yeah, I'm sticking to 8-8. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Okay, stick to 8-8. All right. Well, I'm going under. I'm going 5 games. I will say they'll win 5 games. I think I said that last time too. So we'll find out. Remember, it's in the archives, so it cannot be erased.
Okay.
So people.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. So people will know. Yep.
Moses has come down from the mountain with the stone tablets. Yes. You cannot change it.
It's etched in stone. All right, moving on. Kansas City Chiefs sign another big-time wide receiver, Sammy Watkins, to 3 years, $48 million, 30 guaranteed. So last year he had 593 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's only broken 1,000 yards once in his career, and the most touchdowns he scored is 9. So speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, do you think they're overreaching? Do you think they overpaid Sammy Watkins?
I don't know. Do you think that I'm trying to come up with something witty and I just can't. So I'm just going to say flat out, no. Sammy Watkins is the most overrated, overpaid receiver in the NFL.
I agree with you there.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah. I mean, you said it, Tiger Mike. Like, what's on his resume to make you think that he is a receiver who deserves number one money?
Yeah. Well, was he number four pick? Or I forget what was back in 2012. It's always that potential that he's not a bust yet. He's like, cause he played okay, at least in the red zone last year for the Rams, but there's always that potential. Well, look at you team him up with Tyreek Hill and Mahomes with a cannon arm. You know, you got the speed on the outside. It's going to be nuts. And you got Kareem Hunt, play action, boom, there goes an 80 yard touchdown. So that could be
to not Sammy Watkins. I mean, think about it. Like, okay, you could argue that he may be the fourth best receiver on the team because, like, he's in the same position. Yeah. Todd Gurley, most receiving yards on the Rams, okay? Mm-hmm. And then there was Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and then Sammy Watkins. And now you have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. He could be the fourth receiver yards-wise. Nobody knows.
Yeah, but he ran a 4.3 in his 40. That guy's fast. It's just no one's utilized him, you know, for his speed. And Andy Reid is known to utilize players with speed, as we saw last year with last couple of years, Tyreek Hill.
Well, that's true. But what offensive player, aside from Deshaun Watson, has ever come out of Clemson and made a significant impact in the NFL for more than, say, two seasons? Collinsworth was from Clemson, I'm pretty sure, but that was a long time ago. Yeah. But in recent history, think about it. Andre Ellington, C.J. Spiller.
Yep.
Which is C.J. Spiller had a good season before he got hurt.
Yep.
Sammy Watkins. And, I mean, you can say Wayne Gallman for the Giants. Mm-hmm. He kind of came on at the end of last year. But,
yeah,
you know, it's weird because C.J. Spiller was always hurt. Sammy Watkins was always hurt. Mm-hmm. Andre Ellington, he hasn't really done much for the Cardinals. So it's like, I guess I'm a believer in a school's resume, a college's resume. So that's why I think, like, oh, Melvin Gordon's an anomaly because running backs from Wisconsin don't do that well, except James White when he's in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep. It's like Alabama. They're known.
That's true.
They're known as the factory of NFL players.
Alabama, you can always count on their receivers being kind of good.
Yeah. Florida State, too, with their defense. They've had good defensive players. They're known as one of the defense factories.
And Marshall, home of Randy Moss and Chad Pennington.
Yep. Oh, they almost beat West Virginia, speaking of which, last
they
night.
Did,
their
man.
Rival, yeah. So
intrastate rivalry.
Yeah, intrastate rival, yeah. So, yeah, so Sammy Watkins, the overplayed player. But you never know. The Chiefs might light it up on the scoreboard because they got a bunch of fast, and you still got Kelce at tight end. Yeah, so it might be I don't know how Mahomes is going to do because Alex Smith was, you know, least consistent, but now they're going to definitely throw the ball down the field. But Smith, you can make the argument, even though he's going the Redskins, he threw the ball down the field. He had the most yards ever in his career. Actually, he had a career year. In his what? It was his 12th season, 13th season in the league. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the LeBron of the NFL. He's getting older and he's getting better.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, nice parallel.
Yes, yes. As all the LeBron lovers out there.
Perhaps the first time anyone has compared Alex Smith to LeBron.
Yeah, probably. And the only time because it's obviously it's obviously heresy, but yeah. All right. Oh, actually, I forgot to mention another thing. I forgot to mention this in the trending sports stories of the week. So the Arizona Cardinals, they cut one of their better defensive players, Tyrann Mathieu, and they signed Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon. So they get two quarterbacks, and they cut one of their best defensive players. So what do you think about that?
It seems very stupid to me. I'm not an NFL GM, but it's almost like they were sitting around thinking, okay, let's get rid of a great defensive player and let's sign two of the most boring white quarterbacks in the league. Hmm. okay, Mike Glennon, check. Oh, Sam Bradford, is he available? Okay, check, done, you know?
Yep.
And that's what I think. I mean,
five games in, Glennon was out. He was horrible. That guy was like the worst signing, even for the Bears, signing for that much for $15 million. And then you get injury-prone Sam Bradford. If you barely touch him, he breaks too.
Yeah, so I don't. Why you spend all that money on guys who are, let's be honest, unproven winners?
Yep.
I'll never know. It's just the year of the quarterback. So it's, you know, it's supply and demand, much like my tobacco story from last week.
Yeah, you got to have that tobacco, and you need your quarterback. You need that quarterback. But you think they could have signed, you know, someone else as a backup for cheaper and kept Mathau, but it's like, nah, even the people here are pissed. It's on talk radio. Some of my friends that are Cardinals fans are they can't believe you give. Yeah, he's coming off a torn ACL injury, but he started playing well towards the end of the season last year. So, you know, and he's very versatile. He can play the slot corner. He's a strong safety. So yeah, it's mind boggling why the Cardinals would cut one of their better defensive players and sign a mediocre starting quarterback who's injury prone and a horrible backup who was a starter last year who got overtaken by a rookie. So yeah, it doesn't make any sense why you would sign those two and cut your, you know, one of your better defensive players. But you know, we don't get paid to be NFL GMs. So, you know, who are we to know?
You know, we don't get paid to be podcasters either. So
no, I know we don't.
But that's
hopefully soon.
So who knows? I mean, if they only listened to our show, then they would realize they've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, they would know, like, oops, we should have listened to Tiger Mike and JR. They know what they're talking about. We should have kept Tyron and cut or not signed Mike Glennon at least. Yeah, I can see Sam Bradford when he's healthy. He's a decent pocket quarterback. But besides that, well, there was no one really else to sign. They couldn't afford Cousins. And they're drafting at 15. They're gonna have to draft, you know, send the farm to move up to get, you know, one of the four quarterbacks. So,
yeah, that's, I don't know. I guess saying that, you know, he's a good pocket passer is like, okay, I guess so. You could also say that a Big Mac is a good cut of steak. Like, it tastes good.
Depending on your taste buds.
I mean, it's true. You know, yeah. But yeah, it's just weird. It's weird. I just wish now I'm kind of happy that the Jags didn't do anything. They just stuck with the Bortles because I was looking at some stats today about the cap hit the teams are going to take because of their quarterbacks, and Jags are right on the cusp of being in the bottom third as far as teams who will take a hit. So in other words, their hit isn't going to be that much. So. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, like, if you can use that to sign Norwell,
yeah.
Then hey, awesome.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing too is quarterbacks are not, there's not a bounty, a plentiful of quarterbacks out there, and yeah, you're gonna take a chance on whoever's available. You just try to find the best, you know, the best fit. And this one guy actually on the Sports Me app, he said he's hoping that Bradford will be the new Carson Palmer, where the guy with you know messed up knees will rejuvenate his career in the desert. So that's a great point. That's a possibility, but I don't know, because Bradford's been hurt more than Palmer was, even when Palmer came back. Yeah, he tore his ACL a few times, but he still played, you know, better. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, we will see. I mean, again, to use the Big Mac analogy. I'm stuck on the Big Mac. Of course. Yeah. You know what? The Big Mac could be a legendary sandwich, but let's be honest, it's just a Big Mac. It's never been more than that.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer, when he came out of college, he was a tremendous talent.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some good seasons with the Bengals before his knee exploded. Okay. So maybe he started out as a Big Mac, but he ended up being a nice sirloin, possibly moving from sirloin to
Chuck.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, so hovering between sirloin and, let's say, New York strip. Sam Bradford, you know, I mean, I don't think that he's going to be only once in your team's franchise. Can you sign a quarterback that goes from Big Mac to State?
Luck out. Yeah. Or how about
once every 20 years or so,
or how about he was a double, double. So Carson Palmer was a double, double. How about that? Cause he's Southern Cal.
Okay.
So double, double,
double, double. And yeah, so I just don't think that Bradford is ever going to make the leap from double double to filet mignon,
you know? Some ribeye.
Oh, ribeye is good too.
Yeah, the aged steak. Okay.
Did you know that? Okay, so we have these grocery stores in Florida called Winn-Dixie, right?
I've never heard of those. Are they like a health store, just like an Albertson, Safeway? What type of grocery store are they?
Okay, so it's the grocery store that is not the fancy one in your town, but it's not the one that has suspiciously affordable steak, right? The one that you're like, yeah, I kind of wanted to go see it, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to see me walk into the store, right?
Yeah.
It's in the middle ground. It's your average blue collar grocery store. And they have two kinds of steak. They have the American steak and they have Mexican steak. They used to have Australian steak that was in pink styrofoam trays. Okay. So it was pink meant Australia, white meant Mexico, mm-hmm. and black meant American. So now they only have two, mm-hmm. the Mexican and the American. And I go with the Mexican beef because it's like nearly half the price of the American.
It's carne asada. Carne.
Yeah. So maybe Sam Bradford could become that.
He could be the carne. He could be the carne, yeah. The carne
bowl. Maybe he does step up from double double to steak. But it's Mexican steak, which admittedly doesn't have the same like flavor level as American steak.
Then it's good, but it's not very. It's not like grade A ranchers or what else do they call? My dad worked in the grocery business for a long time, so I'm trying to remember the choice.
Like USDA choice, yeah.
The USDA choice, yeah. So
it's good steak. It's a good, mm-hmm. but you can notice a little bit of a difference between that and the USDA choice, the stuff in the black tray. So Bradford, you know, he would be a white tray kind of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Carson Palmer, obviously,
yeah,
a black tray quarterback. But even that's a stretch. I mean, he's no Kurt Warner, right?
No. Yeah, he's no Kurt Warner. Well, Palmer, you know, he couldn't get him the big game. What's like a good, maybe he can even say argue he's a good sirloin. He didn't reach the, you know, the top, you know, ribeye or New York steak or filet mignon. He's like right below the excellent because he couldn't beat the Panthers. He was a good quarterback. He has the best deep ball in football, but he couldn't get over to the next grade, the U.S. whatever the he was still that a nice sirloin.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a good point. And Sam Bradford right now is in London broil territory.
Yeah, the one where you might as well just eat leather instead. Like when you, it's like chewing on leather. But yeah, so we'll see how the Cardinals do because the NFC West is going to be very competitive. You know, you got McVay and the Rams, and then the Niners with they didn't splash in free agency, but they got McKinnon, and they got Rickberg at center. So Kyle Shanahan was really high on McKinnon, so he thinks he can be the next Devonta Freeman, the next running back.
Interesting. Well, I see him. I don't know. I see him being more like Tevin Coleman, but mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is that he wasn't doing much when he was Adrian Peterson's backup.
Nope.
But this past year, when he teamed up with Latavius Murray, he had some great games.
Yeah, and he had a he's fast, he's strong on the spark. I don't know if you heard the spark metric when they do the draft, like it's athleticism. He scores really high for running back. He did the most. I think he did 32 reps on the bench. He ran a 4.4, 40. So he's small. He's only like 5'9", 209 pounds. But you know, it's not the size of the dog, but it's the fight. So he has that fight, the bite in the fight.
So you're saying that he bench pressed more than Saquon Barkley?
He did, yeah. And he's smaller.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's why his spark score was a lot higher than you know a lot of running backs that came out. I think it was back in 2014, 2012. I can't remember.
Yeah, somewhere around that.
Somewhere in there. All the years are starting to mix together. Can't remember. Happens when you get old.
Yes, Father Time is not concerned with details, my friend, right. Only experiences.
Yes, experiences, yes, because in actually a month from tomorrow, I will be 35. I will hit my mid-30s.
Oh, yeah, so you're on the downhill side to 40.
Yes, well, speaking of 40 and your birthday, how I forgot to ask at the beginning of the show, how was your birthday? How was the big 4-0?
Oh, it was great. I woke up, I got to sleep in till like 6:30, 7.
That's really sleepy then, yeah.
Then my wife made me some eggs, bacon, and pancakes.
Ooh.
Right? Then a present time. So my wife and my daughter, like, they made me a card. And my wife got me a Patagonia trucker hat from REI.
Nice.
So now I can Instagram my Patagonia-laden head like all the cool kids on the West Coast.
Yep. Those trucker hats are still in vogue, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, anything from Patagonia is in vogue, bro, because it's got organic cotton on the front of it.
Ooh, organic cotton. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, so. I'll have to pick me up one of those.
Anyway, so I got the presents, right? And then I went for a hike, a birthday hike. So I went down to Black Creek, and I did their little loop trail, which was not super long, but stopped about halfway through, cracked open a Leffe Blonde Ale from Belgium.
Ooh.
And read a few pages of The Old Man and the Sea by my favorite author, Ernest Hemingway.
Hemingway, nice. That sounded like a nice birthday.
It was nice.
Oh, glad to hear. All right, speaking of which, actually, I forgot to mention this too. This is what happens when you're all over the place. For the viewers, I'm in the ESPN First Take, Your Take group on Facebook. So you can actually go on there and eventually debate, like I said, debate Stephen A. or Max Kellerman. And I was having technical difficulties, so my brain was all over the place. So that's why I'm forgetting a lot of stuff. And I'm getting old, so I'm going to be in my mid-30s. I'm not a young buck anymore, as they say.
Yeah.
But the Jets, remember that the tweet that that guy thought we were crazy, so who started the whole thread?
I jumped in there because I think I have this, I don't know if you call it racist or judgmental opinion, mm-hmm. that dual threat white quarterbacks just don't do anything. Yeah. Like,
well, they don't win.
They don't win. Yeah. I'm talking like dual threat. So I'm talking like a Johnny Manziel. I mean, really, there's not that many. So you have Johnny Manziel.
Flutie,
going way back. Yep. Eric Crouch, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually Tebow he's like in the top 25 when it comes to like most yards, rushing yards in a season. He had like over 600 one season.
Yep. Steve Young's probably, you can still make the argument that Steve Young was still a pocket passer. He learned how to be a pocket passer. So maybe he's the only literal he wasn't really running quarterback, but athletic quarterback that was good.
Yeah. So I, you know, my argument is in the last 10 or 15 years,
yeah,
name a dual threat white quarterback who's made any significant impact in the league. And the only one would be Tebow, but mm-hmm. he was here and then he was gone.
Yep.
So Mayfield is not I don't think he's a true dual threat quarterback, but no. People are talking like, hey, Mayfield. I'm like, well, that guy, he's not going to do anything because no dual threat white quarterback ever does. And I mean, to make that simpler, DTWQ. Okay. And that's one of those interesting situations where the acronym actually has more syllables than the words they represent. Mm. But anyway,
yep.
I think, yeah. Okay. So, and that's my argument, you know, like you think Rodgers, Wentz, those guys are dual threat, but they've never had more than 390 rushing yards in a season. So mm-hmm. how much of a threat are they? Yeah, you know,
they're just athletic quarterbacks, but they're not runners unless, you know, that's their last resort. They're not like, you know, like Tebow or Kaepernick or RG3 where they don't stay in the pocket. Once, you know, the rush is on them, they just leave the pocket and go. Yeah. So,
yeah. But so me and Tiger Mike, you know, we're in this discussion with this guy from England, I think, because he's a Jets fan, and the Jets fans are talking about who are they gonna draft. And I think you said Rosen. People were clowning on Allen because he's not accurate. They were talking about Mayfield because he's more accurate. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of of that DTWQ.
WQ. Well, that's the thing. If you look historically, not many quarterbacks do well coming from an air raid, even though Lincoln Riley runs his own power running air raid offense. They don't do well. It doesn't translate in the NFL. And just to me, watching some of his games, I don't think he's going to translate to the NFL. He reminds me actually a lot, even if you don't want to say Manziel, you can just say Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie was a serviceable quarterback. He, you know, he threw the ball well, but he couldn't win anywhere he went. Chargers, Bills, you know, wherever else. He's back up to Tom Brady for a season or two. You know, he couldn't win the big one. And I foresee that happening to Mayfield. He's just not, I don't know, just he has the attitude you want, you know, the confidence, but just he doesn't remind me of a Breeze or a Russell Wilson. He just he's not that pocket passer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Russell Wilson, I think, had an 841 yard season. Like, it's just crazy. And he toned it down last year, but that's because he was hurt. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. We'll see, man.
Yeah.
I just don't think Baker Mayfield's going to mount to much in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That's where we would agree on this. Even though one of the guy didn't like my Josh Allen at number three crazy, but he looked pretty accurate to me in the Senior Bowl, and he did well. You know, it's going against Aaron at the combine, but he threw like a 75 yard, you know, bomb dime. So he was accurate at the combine. So and from what I've read, is his inaccuracy is just fundamentals. You can always fix, you know, fundamentals. It's not like it's because he's just an inaccurate thrower. It's because he's not, you know, he's not sticking to his footwork. And once he fit, and he's improved even since the Senior Bowl, he improved. If you watch him throw the ball at the combine, he did pretty well. So, you know, it's just it's all about the fundamentals, as I say.
Yeah. And we'll see how it plays out in the NFL. You know, usually with these guys, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
Until their second year.
Mm-hmm. Second or third year, yeah.
Unless you're Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, yep. And it just takes it by storm.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, we'll see, man.
All right, moving on to the madness of March. So we've had a lot of upsets. Upset City, baby! So there's a lot of upsets. So the biggest one, obviously, is University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I've never heard of that school before. So UMBC upsets number one seed Virginia 74-54, and Loyola Chicago with their 100, or was she almost like 100, like 98, like she's a nun. So like,
yeah, like was it Sister Mary?
Yeah, Sister Mary. Yeah, their mascot. Well, not mascot, but their cheerleader, their biggest cheerleader. I think it's Sister Mary. Loyola Chicago beat Miami, which was a shock, and they beat Tennessee. Actually, against Miami, Ingram made the shot, no relation, but I was bragging on that actually on Sports Me. So yeah, obviously an Ingram is going to win it for you. So yeah, Ingram won it at least for against Miami, and then they beat, you know, Tennessee. So by 1 point. So that was the shocker.
Yeah. Sister Jean.
Oh, Sister Jean. Yeah. Sister Jean. It's yes. Probably Mary Jean. So, so yeah. So what do you think of at least those, we'll start with those upsets. What do you think of UMBC upsetting Virginia?
Well, I mean, it's just, it had to happen at least once, right? And like, it's not so much that they won. It's just, it's how they won. Like, they blew them out. They yeah. flipped the script. Like,
yeah, they beat them at their own game, essentially.
Yeah. Like, they won by 20 points. And like, you're the number one seed is supposed to win by 20 points. They won by 20 points. And it's just so weird because, you know, like people were saying this a lot. Virginia held Pittsburgh, who was a bad team, granted, to 7 points and a half. Like, Division I school in a major conference, and they held them to 7 points.
Yeah, that's just mind-boggling.
And, like, what? And now the Retrievers, the Golden Retrievers.
Golden stopped. Retrievers.
And they beat them. As one person said, in their YMCA uniforms, they went out there and they beat University of Virginia. And it's crazy because Virginia's defense was so good, man. And like,
yeah,
the other part of it too is like, you want them to win because of what happened in Charlottesville, you know, mm-hmm. like you, I think everyone forgot that, but like it, yeah. You know, if there's going to be a team that loses to a 16 seed, like why couldn't it have been Kansas?
Yeah.
You know, why not Villanova? They've already had their turns. They've won their championships. So why?
Yeah. And they're the final two number one seeds left Xavier lost to Florida State. That was a shock too. I had Florida State losing to Xavier, so obviously most people did that. And then I had Xavier beating Gonzaga. So yeah, that was a shock too. The number 9 seed beating the number 1, and Texas A&M beating North Carolina, the 7 seed beating the 2 seed. And where was the other one?
We have Nevada beating Cincinnati.
Yeah, Nevada beating Cincinnati in our own Mountain West Conference. Actually, we were talking to JR and I, and talking to our friend Justin Spike Wade on Twitter. The Aztecs should have won that game. They should have beat Houston. Did you make that point, or did Justin make that point, that they should have called timeout and they should have ran like either a 2-3 zone or a 1-3? I said they should have ran a zone, because all you had to do is block the middle, then you had Mr. Ponytail driving the hoop, then he wouldn't be able to go anywhere.
Oh, okay. Tiger Mike wasn't a ponytail. It was worse. It was a man bun.
Man bun. Yeah. Well, that's why I call the man bun ponytails. Can someone tell that guy that the man bun is, you know, 4 years, you know, it's like old. It's like 4 years old. It's like out of style. People in LA don't even wear that anymore.
No, but the thing that was even worse is it was like only a man bun top. It was shaved on the sides all the way around the back. So yeah. It was like it was like a samurai man bun.
A bowl cut man bun.
But it was just so weird. And yeah, I mean, he went like right at Pope, who was the most athletic guy on the team. And he scooped and scored, man. And it was just, I couldn't believe he made it, but he did. And ironically, they lose to an equally incredible shot in the next round to Michigan.
Michigan, yeah, so, that was a great game. I was like, oh no, they're going to pull it again. Like, this should be the Aztecs, but no, it's Houston. But then the man bun, you know, eventually you can't win with a man bun. So it was only a matter of time. So the man bun, you know, they lost by one. That was a crazy shot. It bounced in.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the South. The South bracket is just, it's like a crime scene. Like, on my Yahoo bracket, it's just covered in red.
Yeah, so
it's
mine.
Like, it's just Kansas State at 9 versus Kentucky at 5. Loyola at 11. Mm-hmm. Nevada 7. Okay, so obviously Kentucky's like, oh, cool, we're going to the Final Four, you know?
Yeah, don't overestimate them, though.
And then in the, you know, in the West bracket, it's Florida State and Gonzaga, which, okay, that's not too much of a surprise, but you'd expect Xavier to make it through.
Yeah, they should have been, And North Carolina, 3-7. North Carolina getting spanked by Texas.
Oh,
yeah. That's what I forgot, the 7-8 being the 2-7. Yeah.
Oh, that was filthy.
Yeah.
Okay, so then on the other side, the East and the Midwest, I mean, aside from Michigan State losing, pretty normal.
Yeah, But I had them going to the Final Four too, but nope, they're out too. So there goes my bracket.
Yeah, so I'm still alive. I have Duke winning it all.
That's a good pick. I wonder, so who do you think is going to be the next number one seed if a number one seed gets knocked out? Do you think it's going to be Nova or Kansas? I think Kansas.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell, because I kind of go by history. So I think, like, okay, Villanova won. Just actually, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? It seems like it was recent.
2 years ago. Yeah, because they beat North Carolina the last shot in North Carolina. Yeah, so it was 2 years ago, because North Carolina won last year. Yeah, so it was 2 years ago, I think.
So, you know, we'll see. I mean, Clemson's a decent team, but they're not incredible. It's just who are they going to play? So Villanova has to play West Virginia and the winner of Purdue, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech's playing good.
It's a toss up for me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's going to win.
I'm actually right on that part of the East bracket. I have Texas Tech beating Purdue, but losing to Villanova to go to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. I have Virginia and Duke in the national championship game, but my Final Four was Virginia, Villanova, Duke, and Michigan.
Yeah, my Final Four was Arizona, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Villanova. So I only have one left in the race.
All right. Well, that's all you need, my friend.
Yep, we'll see how it, because I'm in second place. Spike, Justin's in third, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're in first, so.
We'll see how it shakes down.
Yes, we'll see. We'll see how the madness continues. All right, moving on to our last story, the Arnold Palma Invitational. So Rory McIlroy, the Irishman, wins the tournament, shooting 8-under in the final round with an 18-under total. He made birdie putts on the 13th, 14th, and a chip in from 40 feet away on the 15th. And he had a 375-yard drive on the 16th that left him just a sand wedge into the par 5 with a 2-putt birdie. So McIlroy's back. Then Tiger Woods, not Tiger Mike, Tiger Woods, finished 5th at 10-under. Seems like he couldn't get it at that, you know, the 16th hole. You know, he was, you know, playing, then the 16th hole kind of,
Yeah. He had those two bogeys in the final stretch. But you know what? I'm so glad. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm so glad Tiger's back and that he is playing well, even though he's an old dude. You know?
No, he's 42. He's super old.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's 2 years older than me, dude. That's like 10 years. No. So are you happy that Tiger's back?
I'm definitely happy Tiger's back because it's good for golf. It's more fun. So now you got Tiger back, you got Spieth, you got McIlroy playing, you got Johnson playing well. So you got a good group of, you know, players that can, you know, challenge each other and makes it more interesting now. So now it'd be great to watch Spieth take on Tiger because, you know, Spieth is, you know, super young. So I'll bet you Tiger was one of his favorite golfers growing up. So, you know, playing against your idol, you know, on the, you know, the final rounds, you know, battling him, that'd probably be a dream come true.
Well, yeah, and also what I think is interesting is that Rory McIlroy stirred up a little controversy when he basically said, you know, the gallery is getting too rowdy and people are having too much to drink. Maybe we should start limiting drinks. And I was like, oh, that's right. This guy really hasn't been around for Tiger's, like, heyday, you know? Or maybe he doesn't know, you know?
And he's never experienced Billy Madison.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, you know, like, this is just how it is. I'll see you in the parking lot.
Jackass!
So it's like, you know, sorry, pal, but, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of majors. Like, he has more than any of the other young guys.
Yeah.
But that just comes with the game. That's what happens when you're playing golf when Tiger Woods is on.
Yeah, it just makes the game more exciting. It's fun because he has that. You know, that's why he's the Tiger. He's always on the prowl. He's ready to strike. You know, he's been hurt the last 10 years, and obviously with his, you know, scandal. And like I said before, he probably took steroids because you don't break down that fast, you know, from, you know, injuries to, you know, so maybe he's off the roids now. He's just been working out. You know, he's back to where, you know, where he should be at 42. So,
yeah. And I'm really hoping he can win one. I mean, it would be great if he could win the Masters, but just one tournament would be awesome.
Because, you know, he's lost 10 years of, you know, winning majors. He could have passed Jack, you know, by now. Could have been 5 years ago if he was still playing. He could have passed, you know, Jack Nicholson. But, yeah, it's going to be tough unless he just has that second wind, you know, plays the back nine of his career, you know, well. I don't think he's going to catch Jack.
That's true. I don't think he has enough time left for that, but you let too much time slip by. He's the other Tiger now. Yeah. The other Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger Woods. So, yeah, it's. I'm curious to see. I should look this up. Like, what golf clubs he's using now? Because obviously Nike doesn't make golf clubs anymore. I think was he TaylorMade? Let me look this up. Because I have TaylorMade golf clubs. They're good.
By the way, if any of the listeners, and even you, Tiger Mike, are interested in playing a fascinating and addicting online golf game, I highly recommend WGT by Topgolf. It's an incredible game.
What is? Do they have Topgolf out in Jacksonville?
Yes, we have a Topgolf stadium here. Is that what you call a stadium or a range? Topgolf range.
Range, yeah. Because we have one here in Scottsdale.
Yeah, WGT. I highly recommend it.
All right. Let's see. Tiger is using. Yeah, he did. He signed TaylorMade, but that's kind of like sacrilegious because TaylorMade is owned by Adidas, and Tiger wears Nike.
Yeah. So I mean, do we know M2 driver, M23 wood?
He still uses Nike wedges, and this Scotty Cameron putter. But yeah. So he uses the TaylorMade M3 driver. Yeah. So that's kind of weird. It's like, it'd be like Michael Jordan wearing his Air Jordans, and he uses Reebok stuff for if he did what do you call it?
Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, Pierre Garçon. Yeah, Pierre. Yeah, PG. Pierre Garçon. Yep. Like if he did powerlifting or something, or he played golf with Reebok stuff, and then uses Jordan stuff.
Yeah.
So, yep. Well, that's it. We covered it all. So, what do you got going on this week?
My parents are coming into town to visit from Wednesday until Monday.
Ooh, the rents. So the rents get to spend time with the grandchildren. Nice.
Yes, that is correct.
Cool. So you're going to be, you can take them out to the eats, or are you just going to stay home and cook?
I think it's going to be a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to take you out for your birthday?
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. I'll see if I can weasel my way into a free dinner.
Yeah, get a nice steak. Get a filet mignon.
Yes. A Kurt Warner, if you will.
Hey, Kurt Warner. Yep. Yep. Cool.
Waiter, I don't have the Kurt Warner.
What? Huh? Well, you're in Jacksonville, buddy.
So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'll fill you guys in on the freebies that I get.
Nice.
And what's going on with you, man? When's spring break over?
Spring break ends tomorrow. I go back to work tomorrow. So yep. So just back to the grind.
And what? Tell me how the car is going.
The car is doing well. The Volkswagen is doing well. So the Jetta.
Yeah.
So it's doing well. So it's got a lot more power, horsepower and kick than my old Honda Civic. So it's nice. So now I can actually pass people on the freeway. And when that person, you know, when you're trying to pass them in Arizona, everyone drives fast. But sometimes during, you get the snowbirds, you know, people living here during the winter. So they drive slower. So now I can actually pass people go in the right lane when they get pissed when you speed, because they speed up. Obviously, when I had my Civic, I had a slower car, so they can just speed up and I couldn't pass them. But now I can actually pass them because my my Jetta is turbocharged. So,
A little extra pep in the stuff. Yeah, huh?
It's only 150 horsepower, but it's turbocharged, so I have enough. I can't obviously take, you know, something super fast, but you know, if it's just the average car, yeah, I can, you know, even if it has more horsepower than I do, I can pass it as long as it's not turbocharged. Their car is not turbocharged, so.
All right.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, sweet. Well, thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure, Tiger Mike.
Yes. All right.
The real Tiger.
The real Tiger. Yeah. The new Tiger, because Tiger Woods is 42 and Tiger Mike is going to be 35.
You're still in the prime of your career. Yeah,
I'm on like hole 18 in the prime of my career. I'm like on that last putt, really.
Yeah.
Because remember the dad body, like I said, I haven't been working out as much. I get back into it, then you slack off. So now I'm back to the athletic dad body. So my goal is to get back to at least a somewhat athletic body by August. So that's the goal, the summer body.
Okay. Yep. Getting ready for that. Bikini.
Yeah, that my man thong. Yes, my man thong.
Yes.
Yes. Very nice, very nice. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. And if you are on SportsMe, thanks for listening. And also, if you want to download that app, it's called SportsMe. If you want to debate me and bring up topics, you can actually invite me to in the debate. So if you want to do that, fine. Then once, if GR wants to join, once it comes out on Google Android, we'll let you know when it's out on Android so you can debate us both. And if you make good debates or topics, we'll have you on the show. And maybe we can interview the starter of SportsMe. So make sure you download, subscribe, and rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music and Stitcher. Hit us up on Twitter at Tiger Mike Sports and hit us up on Facebook at the Tiger Mike Sports Show. Have a great week, everyone. Take care. Late.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Help support the show at patreon.com/TigerMikeSportsShow. For more episodes, articles, sports news, and all of our social media info, check out our website, TigerMikeSportsShow.com. We'll see you same Tiger time, same Tiger channel.